News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What's going on, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, if you want to get the tongue's wagging on the text line, I guess you could say, or the fingers typing on the text line. Just bring up nude beaches.
And, that's it.
and imply that we have them locally, and off our texters go at 251-343-0106.
Yeah, I don't have many tricks up my sleeve, but anytime there's a story about nude beaches, I know it's going to generate some conversation. Mm-hmm. And you were asking, and we have plenty of actual news to discuss and plenty of things that we want your take on this hour at 251-343-0106.
Yeah, like, but they clearly want to talk about nude beaches.
Nude beaches. We're going to talk prison construction costs, data centers, Paul Pelosi's terrible times behind the wheel, and of course the war in Iran. But you said, while we were talking about the top 10 nude beaches in America, you said you'd heard or thought perhaps that there was a nude beach in Pensacola.
Yeah, years Johnson ago, Beach. Johnson Beach was, and I think Johnson Beach, it's, I say Pensacola, it's just east of the Florida line, so it's not deep into Pensacola, but it's, anyway, I just remember the rumors about that beach being a nude beach.
Well, we have a lot of journalists on the text line that have visited Johnson Beach, and most of them are saying, no, it is not a nude beach. Like Ben said no on Johnson Beach, said used to be one at West Beach and Gulf Shores. Really? Now.
That's your neck of the woods.
I guess so, yeah. I haven't seen any kind of nudity out there, that's for sure. BJ says, I go to Johnson Beach all the time, and I have never seen anyone nude, thank God. That's what he says in the text. He also said, but it is very secluded and only accessible by boat, so ...
Yeah.
Haywood saying what many were thinking, Johnson Beach, hell of a name for a nude beach. Yep. Backstrap.
I didn't even put that together.
Backstrap Stacker said Johnson Beach is not a nude beach, but we did walk from the intercoastal side to the Gulf side with the whole family and busted a couple doing the do. Wow. That's a story your family will relive for the rest of
how old
eternity.
Were the children at that time?
What are they doing? Larry from Daphne said, my experience, the only nudity at Johnson Beach is that unfortunate toddler who decided to take their swim diaper off. And that's a problem that many parents have had over the years. So it's a no on Johnson Beach, but America has plenty of those nude beaches, as that story I relayed to you at the end of the last hour shows. It was shocking because the one that they ranked number one, I think it was called, Baker Beach or something out in California.
Near the Golden Gate Bridge.
Near the Golden Gate Bridge. And the first review I went to for this supposedly nude or clothing optional beach was this guy saying it's a perfect place for family pictures. Mm. But he better be dang sure of that at Johnson Beach before you get out there for a family photo.
Well, and what's the point? What's the point of
a nude beach?
Yeah.
I guess if you don't like tan lines,
you must not like them at all. Yeah. I mean, someone like me, maybe even you, but the areas that are protected through the decades, in my case for sure, they ain't ready for sunlight. I mean, I burn up regardless. You know, I've got to slap that stuff on hour after hour and not really get a tan, but just keep from getting a burn.
Yeah.
You get a burn there?
Oh, yeah, no. They're backing up the ambulance if that happens for me.
Sure.
That's what's happening. Glenn says, it is, actually, Johnson Beach. He said, at the end of the beach, there are absolutely nude people. My wife and I witnessed it firsthand, took the boat to the secluded area.
There was.
And finally, and I'll go ahead and say, this may be the last on Johnson Beach. I didn't even think it would go this long. But CB Carl says, good morning, guys. Years ago, Johnson Beach was known as a nudist beach, but I think the authorities put a stop to it. You are correct about the people who go to those places. About 20 years ago, I was contracted to wire up some trailers at a nudist campground over in Florida that was being expanded while it was in use, and all I could say was yuck. So the nudist colonies, yeah, those two.
Well, that's another one. So the nudist colonies. All right. If there are such communities, maybe in Florida there still are, I wonder.
Oh, got to be.
What's the mindset? What's the point? What are they trying to
just to
what
be
are they,
free?
What are they trying
man.
To drive at?
Live free. That's what they're free. Wanting to do. Live as free as possible. I just wonder if they have like daily water cooler talk like we do, where they talk about the issues of the day, but they're fully nude.
Yeah.
Man, it's a shame what's going on in the Middle East right now. Mm-hmm. And you're just supposed to have a normal conversation about the war in Iran.
Or anything.
Standing there nude. So there you go. 251-343-0106. A lot to get to in that as well, too, with, of course, three more service members killed over the weekend, potentially a fourth as we wait for some remains to be identified. And this week, a big one, just like any week for the war in Iran and overall the Middle East. You have the Lebanese president who landed yesterday in D.C., I believe, had a short meeting with Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, yesterday. And then tomorrow, Lebanese President Yosef Aoun will make his first White House visit. He's going to talk with the president tomorrow about a plan for disarming Hezbollah and also secure an Israeli withdrawal from southern Lebanon. Aoun, a former army commander and now the first Lebanese president to visit the White House in nearly two decades, says that only Trump has the leverage needed to pressure Israel and help restore Lebanese sovereignty. Iran-backed Hezbollah has rejected direct negotiations with Israel in efforts to surrender its weapons. But at the time when that memorandum of understanding came out, it seemed to me like that would be the biggest obstacle, getting Israel out of Lebanon, because they signaled no intent to do so. And Iran signaled that that was a deal breaker for them. Turns out the Strait of Hormuz was still the bigger obstacle to overcome, which they still haven't found a way beyond that in these negotiations. But this is probably a close second, getting Israel out of Lebanon. And Trump will work on that this week alongside the Lebanese president. Aoun himself has criticized Hezbollah for launching that attack back in March of last year now. Are we talking 2 years ago?
Which one now?
For the current campaign. So it would have been March of this year when Hezbollah kind of got things going up again as it was starting to slow down. But he has stopped short of accepting Trump's call to meet directly with the Israeli prime minister. Maybe that's a meeting that they can set up this week as Trump has that meeting with the Lebanese president.
Yeah, I guess Lebanon is, for the most part, They don't have any power to eradicate themselves of Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't have the power to expel Israel.
Right.
If they did, Hezbollah would take, presumably, a more notable footprint there in Lebanon than they already have, which is a big one.
Which is a big one. And so it's just like they won't get off their lawn. They're fighting it out right there in Lebanon. It's got to be just a major... Well, it's been a major problem for a long time, but at this point, he's hoping to get some relief from Trump. I don't know where Trump or how Trump would have the solution to this. We've got our own, even before you get to that, we've got our own concerns in the Middle East, even before you get to that problem.
Yeah, you do. Including now, what should the response be for more killed
Loss
Americans?
Of life, right.
That's right. And they have identified two of the soldiers who were killed in the attack on the Muwafaq Salty Air Base in Jordan. And those two have been identified as First Lieutenant Tyler Feehan, 25 years old, from Hawaii, and Private Isabella Gonzalez, 19 years old, a female out of Texas. There were unidentified remains that they are working to identify right now from that same attack. And then there was another fallen service member from another attack. I believe that came Saturday.
On Saturday, a service member was killed in northern Iraq during the controlled detonation of a downed, I think it was a drone.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to
detonate it
and make it safe. And we had one injury and one American lost his life in that. So does Trump, does he ramp it up? It seems like if you listen to the rhetoric that things have been ramped up for the last 7 or 8 nights. They've kind of gone after Iran pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're totaling all of these things that they're striking and destroying. And I'd like to do an assessment over the last 7 to 10 days. Exactly what have we wiped out? Because it looks like our our intent has been to be very aggressive.
Yeah, so last night was officially a ninth consecutive night of attacks, and CENTCOM announced last night that they were successful strikes against Iranian targets. CENTCOM assets targeted Iranian military command centers, air defense, and coastal surveillance sites. Dan covered so much of this morning.
Yep.
Maritime capabilities, missile and drone launch sites, and comms networks, CENTCOM said, to diminish Iran's ability to attack commercial vessels and civilian mariners that are transiting the Strait of Hormuz. The strikes came after those two service members were identified, waiting on a third to be identified, and then a fourth that also died with that drone detonation that Dan talked about. President Trump yesterday paid tribute to the service members, saying American forces launched another round of strikes, quote, in honor of them. He also said the service members had sacrificed their lives to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. And then Secretary of State Marco Rubio also speaking with the media last night, or at least putting out a statement. He said, Iran has effectively killed that memorandum of understanding meant to keep the strait open after they attacked multiple commercial ships. But Rubio, echoing much of what Trump has been saying, that the U.S. is still willing to pursue a deal, to pursue diplomacy. He was speaking with reporters at Joint Base Andrews before Rubio heads off to the Philippines. They have a foreign minister's meeting this week he'll be in attendance for. But the Secretary of State said Iran was expected to reaffirm that the strategic waterway would remain open to commercial shipping and stop attacking vessels. Instead, he said they attacked three ships late last week. Quote from Rubio, I think we're always open to diplomacy. It has to be real. It has to be a deal that they're willing to live by. But what deal are they willing to live by?
What deal are they willing to behave within the constraints of a deal? I mean, they don't seem to be able to operate in a civil way when it comes to any kind of memorandums or deals or whatever. And then it's such a strange time. Like, what political price is Trump and the GOP? You know, what kind of a political price are they going to pay in the next few months with the midterms on the way? Gas prices yo-yoing every now and then, enticing us to go back to the pump,
mm-hmm.
then around $3.19 or $3 a gallon, suddenly back up, I guess, closer to between $3.80 and $4 now. I don't have a total
yesterday
reading on that, but I know it's back up a good bit.
Yeah, yesterday I saw some around the 350s, 355. It may be back up this morning, but we saw a little bit of a break there for a couple weeks,
yeah.
especially around Independence Day, which was fortuitous or maybe intentional in some ways to get the prices down for all that traveling. But, you know, we were knocking on the door. Even some saw under $3 a gallon.
I know in the state of Georgia it was, and you said some locally. And it does vary, and it's a little maddening to me how it can vary so widely.
Day to day.
Day to day, and also station to station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just, you know, unleaded. When you get to the diesel prices, they are just ridiculous right now. And while many of you on the text line, and I know we've been talking about this war for months on end now, there's many of you, or at least several, who every time we talk about it say, hey, get over it, man. This is about ending Iran's reign of terror that's been going on for 47 years now, and that we should be willing to put up with some prices at the pump in the meantime. But the more short-term worry here for Republicans is its effect on energy prices and overall inflation. And when you have diesel prices as high as they are right now,
it means the cost of every transport,
everything
goes up. Right.
And you look at some of these latest readings on the economy that they were talking about last week, looking back at the May and June numbers, and it seemed that inflation had finally become a bit more manageable since the fuel prices were kind of leveling out. Now that we're back at it in the Middle East, and eight ships crossed the strait on Saturday.
And again, the top, generally speaking, in the Strait of Hormuz on a good day, you know, like before all this, it was around 140 or 150.
Mm-hmm.
So eight is nearly nothing.
So the choke point is choking again. And how quickly can these energy companies, and many of them striking deals with American energy companies, find alternative routes? You
mm-hmm.
have Chevron, who's signed on for some big-time pipeline deals to move oil around the strait. You have that path through the coast of Oman that they've been working on that Iran seems to have the biggest gripe about.
Yep.
Is they don't want to see those ships going through the other side where they have less control over them. Will we be able to move ships through there more easily once these strikes have come to an end? I don't know. But prices are going to have a major effect on those midterms that are right around the corner.
I agree 100%. Then we got the tropical depression that we're monitoring. Dr. Bill doesn't seem to be losing any sleep over it, but doesn't mean that we might not get a good bit of wind and rain, maybe. Good morning, gentlemen from Fargo, North Dakota. So we're listening on the app. He says, hope the weather goes okay. That would be Thomas from Irvington. Is either visiting family or doing business in North Dakota this morning.
Hello in Fargo. 822, more Mobile Mornings on the way next.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Thank you for listening in North Dakota, Thomas. It's 827, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Michael on the text line says, do y'all remember the days when with the war with Iran was going to last 2 to 4 weeks? Or the time when you could fill your truck up for less than $150? Man, those were the days. Back in February. Okay.
Yeah, same calendar year, right? Maz texting in and said, the thing that chaps me is when gas goes up, it does it by 10 to 20 cents per gallon. But when it comes down, it's by 1 or 2 cents at a time. Yeah, nothing that'll get you scratching your head more than the same gas station you drive by every day when from one day to the next it goes up 40 cents. You're like, good gracious. I guess that's the tanker that came in because they're paying, supposedly each station is paying based on whatever the tankers are charging them that are bringing the fuel to their doors and then so on and so forth up the totem pole until you get to the Strait of Hormuz, where, of course, most American energy isn't coming from there. That has more of an effect on the worldwide prices.
Yeah.
But the overall price is going to affect you down to the pump here in Mobile.
And when speaking of here in Mobile, where are the places when it's at its lowest, or heck, when it's at its highest, that might be even more important. Where's the best gas price when it is high? Because when it's low, but would it be Murphy's? Would it be?
Well, you have your Sam's Club and Costco, which are generally going to be on the lower end of prices locally.
I forget. Do you have to be a member to gas up in Costco? Okay.
Yeah, you have to have the membership there. But those are so popular now across the country. They're doing standalone Costco gas stations now. But there's competitive prices all around. You just have to kind of look around and know where to go for those lower prices. Well, of course, Gas Buddy is one of them, too. They can help you find those prices.
Yeah.
But the experts will tell you that these mom-and-pop gas stations or even the franchises that we see around here, that they're not taking liberties with the pricing, but you still ask yourself, I don't know if they're maybe taking advantage of the situation sometimes.
Yeah, there's certain places where I don't want to name places. I don't want to call them out because I really don't have the facts in front of me, but it seems to me places that are convenient to me where I would probably gas up there where I'm like, a little pricey here. Mm-hmm. I think I can go down the road and find it for a little bit less. And maybe it's places that have got more volume, maybe more pumps, are able to pay a better rate.
Some of those places you're paying for the experience, and it's not always a good experience.
No.
You're paying for whatever.
But that Speedway on Government used to be owned by a friend of mine. It's got like 24 pumps right there, Government and I-65.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never thought of the pump-to-price ratio, like more pumps, whether it's cheaper or not.
Maybe there's something to that.
A text viewer said, and it goes up immediately when something is announced on the news. We'll get to a lot more of these texts. We had Thomas listening from Fargo this morning. John says he's in Nashville, where he goes every 6 months, asking whether the tropical depression would affect Nashville. It should not, John. No, actually, in what effects we'll see from it will likely come tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll talk about that more on the other side.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, getting you started on a big week here at FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we are great, and everyone coming off a big weekend here on the Gulf Coast. You had the ADSFR, the 93rd Rodeo. You had the Blue Angels, which I understand you were able to see them fly earlier last week, but you want to see some flying, the deals at McConnell Automotive flying right in and out the door. Hey, what you got going on over there?
That's right. We got it going on over here today. And, it's, you know, that north wind's going to be blowing. It's going to be a little cool, so y'all can come out here and check the lot out, man. We got a great selection of pre-owned and new stuff. We got new stuff coming in every day. Don't forget, we got 0% on those half-ton trucks. And the used car side, we've got cars just about stacked up on cars. So we got great deals on trucks. You want to pull those boats, we got plenty of trucks out there to pull them with. And little SUVs, good gas mileage. They're trying to buy a couple of Teslas today on the auction, so we're going to try to get some good gas mileage, no gas mileage stuff, I should say.
Yeah.
But we'll have those here, hopefully, end of the week. The stuff we bought last week will be here today. So we just got a great selection. Check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, odds are someone who's shopping for a vehicle, if they go to that website, McConnellAutomotive.com, they will see it. But as you just pointed out there, if someone wants something you don't have on the lot, all they have to do is ask you.
That's right. Just give us a call, 251-476-4141. And like I said, we got buyers here that buy stuff online every day. So if you don't see what you're looking for out front, like I said, just give us a call.
All right. Thank you, Louie. Have a good one.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Louie's swearing it's cool out there because we have that north wind. The north wind is howling out of Satsuma. It's not coming out of Canada. It's not coming that far. It's still very hot and humid.
Yeah, and we'll get some of that northerly wind as the tropical depression makes its way along the Gulf Coast. And we had a lot of conversations about that this morning with the man of the hour. Of course, that's Dr. Bill Williams, as it is a tropical depression. It's actually Tropical Depression 2 this Atlantic hurricane season, and expected to reach tropical storm strength later today, when it will be named Tropical Storm Bertha. That'll be the second named storm of the 2026 Atlantic hurricane season. So as we were getting ready this morning, around 4 o'clock, an update came in. And at that time, the depression was about 220 miles southeast of Mobile, but it is crawling right now at 3 miles per hour, crawling northwest. And if you look at the projection on the map here, it's going to basically head northwest as it makes its way towards the Florida Panhandle. And then by tomorrow night, early Wednesday morning, it should be crossing the Florida-Bama line there south of us. Wednesday morning, really, as it makes its way across the Gulf headed towards Texas. So whatever result we on the southwest Alabama Gulf Coast feel from this storm, it'll likely be tomorrow evening into and through Wednesday. And we'll just have to see what this storm does. We could get plenty of rain from this over these next few days, anywhere from 2 to 4 inches, or some isolated places they're saying could get 6 inches of rain. But right now, it doesn't look like we're expecting any kind of hurricane threat from this, or really even an all-day washout.
Now, there's going to be a lot of rain one way or the other in the Gulf of Mexico itself. So
yeah,
if you're thinking about, you know, fishing trip and all that stuff, that's probably going to be something you wouldn't.
Yeah, it may be tough these next few days.
Yeah.
Some of the primary local concerns, and again, these can shift as we move along in our week. Scattered tropical squalls, heavy downpours, gusty coastal winds, localized flash flooding, and a low-end threat of a brief waterspout or tropical tornado. You've all lived through these before, and we haven't had much to keep an eye on so far this Atlantic hurricane season. So this one may be even taking extra attention because it's been so rare this year, but it is something we need to keep our eye on because it definitely could affect our weather here these next few days.
It could have flooding, and that just, again, depends on how north it wishes to drift, that whole line. It's moving toward Texas one way or the other. It's a matter of how does it, what's its route going to be, closer in on surface or down in the Gulf of Mexico.
Whoa.
Gulf of
You can't say that. You're not allowed Gulf of Mexico.
Mexico or Gulf of America.
They'll come at you.
You know, I'm the Gulf of America.
Is it growing on you?
A little bit.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. See, I've been Gulf of America day one.
I love America. I just didn't think the Gulf needed to be renamed. I love it. You know, there's no question I love America.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have a lot of texts we'll get to as well, and plenty to get to, including Paul Pelosi and how good of a driver is Paul Pelosi.
Not but very good.
Let's go to the phones and talk with Freddie in West Mobile to note an anniversary of sorts. Hey, Freddie, good morning.
Good morning, Dalton. Good morning, what's his name?
Dan.
Oh, come on, Freddie. Can't be pulling that. So,
David, Freddie, I know your name.
Dan knows your name.
You're not even on the radio.
So, Freddie, you played, I'll say, an outsized influence. You were really pushing hard for annexation in West Mobile, and time flies. What year are we entering here since we annexed parts of West Mobile?
Today was our third-year anniversary.
3 years.
So far we haven't fell off the face of the earth. We're still here. I'm delighted to say this morning is my trash pickup day.
Okay.
So, which is different from garbage.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
There is a new subdivision going in between Schillinger's Road and Dawes Road, just north of Greelock, 141 unit that will be under control by the Mobile Planning Commission.
Hmm.
So, and then there's numerous things that happened with the annexation of this area that people are on the outside fringes, or I'm hearing noises about development, data centers, all these other things that are not in the control of the county because there's no home rule, but are in control of the city because city has ordinances and has protections in place to take and slow down some of this stuff that they can make sure that the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. So everybody that was complaining about what the city wouldn't bring didn't think about what the city would bring.
Mm. Fred, of course, you were all for it, for the annexation. So your opinion, I suppose, is as strong as ever. Are there others out there that you think have now been satisfied by the services and maybe they didn't vote for it or were on the line and now they're happier about it?
I think there are people out there that realize that, hey, this wasn't all that bad a deal after all. I mean, I think people are realizing that, guess what? It's important to have things like EMS coverage for people out here that are approaching three-quarters of a century like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out here who appreciate the fact that they have a fire department that's rated, still rated number one in the country. I don't think they can count that as much as they should. And the police department as well is rated very highly in the country. So the police and the fire protection that we got out of this, plus the EMS coverage that was regained because it was taken away, the other things. Currently, there's a street that's about to be paved in the Iron Gate subdivision next to mine that is badly in need of it because we're in Council District 6.
Mm-hmm.
And Councilman Woods has done a good job of representing our area and getting what we've been paying taxes for years, but finally are able to take them because we have a council member that's able to advocate for those people in this area. So there's a lot of positive things that come out of it. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, taxes went up, but guess what? Somebody's got to pay for this. And if I'm going to pay for it anyway, shouldn't I get some benefit out of it?
And
sounds like you're satisfied. Satisfied with it.
We appreciate the call, Freddie. Yeah. Tough to listen to a little bit with the cracking up on that, but
they weren't able to solve the phones in
West Mobile. But you know,
he's now in the city. You think we could hear him more closely, and you would think maybe possibly he would know my name.
And he brings up data centers there. I do want to get to that too. But you know, a big part of that annexation was getting the city's population above that all-important 200,000 number, and the annexation did that, but it may only be for a short time. We had that story a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago at this point, some of the newer sensor numbers that they were going through. So once that annexation went into effect, and that was 3 years ago, as Freddie noted there on that phone call.
Like at our highest peak, what was the population?
So the city of Mobile, when they celebrated the certification, when they celebrated the annexation, the city said that the population expanded to more than 206,000 residents. The official formulaic edition placed that number at 204,689. So post-annexation, the official numbers were that there was a population of 204,689. That was July of 2023. You look at the latest numbers, and we are barely now above that 200,000 resident mark. We're at 200,824. So nearly 4,000 residents
have left
the city of Mobile since annexation three years ago.
It's not necessarily people out there that left, but somewhere in the city, there's 4,000 we can't find.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what that, I know that they said federal grants come easier for cities that have a population over 200,000,
right.
And certain things, I don't know if insurance changes or what it may be, but we're about to dip below that 200,000 unless something else happens. It sounded like Freddie was hinting there that maybe even more people just outside of the city limits right now are thinking of annexation.
And he's also talking about development inside the city limit. If you have 121 units, you say two or three people per home, so there's several hundred on maybe. They may not be new residents to the city, so I may be wrong about that. But anyway, that would probably lead you to think there's going to be a little more of a increase in population.
And I imagine a lot of the people that were listening to Freddie's call there, and listen, he's clearly on one side of this argument.
And remains there, yeah.
He likes, even said that he's willing to pay more taxes, which he is now, that the city is annexed where Freddie lives and so many of you. But he's happy that he gets the garbage and trash service from the city and EMS and fire, although Seven Hills does a pretty dang good job out that way anyway, volunteer fire department. But not everyone agrees with Freddie. And in that same call where he said, hey, those of you that are freaking out about these data centers, wouldn't it have been nice if you were in the city of Mobile and the zoning regulations that come from that? But he also mentioned that subdivision, and I'm sure there were people listening going, listen, you're bragging about a 121-lot subdivision. What if we don't want that either?
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Mobile, all too happy to welcome those in. So for many that are living in the county, they don't want to see the data center. They also don't want to see 121-unit townhome development pop up left or right.
Right. That for a lot of people, that would not be something to brag about. That'd be something to grumble about.
Right. And the data center protest, which we've been talking a lot about here because it's hitting us locally here, starting with the solar in Stockton and then a more wider focus on data centers going in across both Mobile and Baldwin counties. Do you see how many protests nationwide there were this week?
Yeah.
This weekend?
Hundreds, right?
142 protests across
of data centers.
42 states,
okay.
Yeah, against the rapid expansion of AI data centers. The organizers arguing communities are excluded from decisions involving projects that can consume large amounts of electricity, water, and land. A Reuters poll found only 14% of people would welcome an AI data center in their community. A Gallup poll found roughly 7 in 10 would oppose one nearby, not even in their community, but would oppose a data center nearby. Researchers have counted about 65 state restrictions since the beginning of last year. And we talked about this last week. New York became the first state to pause large new projects temporarily. They put a one-year moratorium on those projects, which is kind of sounding like what will be the standard Democrat line going into the midterms. They like what Hochul did with that, and they're running with this one-year moratorium because that's exactly what Doug Jones is saying he's calling for as he runs for governor of Alabama. And some are calling it a mistake, but you have Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's the Republican nominee for governor, who in the past week, if you didn't know where he stood, now you do.
You know for sure if you heard his quotes on the radio, Jeff Poore's show, other shows, and also when he was talking with the sheriffs.
Yeah, he's come out staunchly for data centers. And with President Trump tweeting last week regarding the New York moratorium, he said, you guys are just leaving a cash cow outside of your state, and called on Alabama and some of these other states who are already participating to take the data centers in and watch the money machine go burr, I guess, is what Trump thinks is going to happen. But
yeah,
now we have, that's maybe the first, outside of the usual suspects when it comes to Democrats versus Republicans and what they're going to tout on their campaign trail. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty stark difference that Tuberville and Doug Jones have laid out. And I don't know whether it'll hurt Tuberville or not, but I know there's a lot of locals who are completely against these data centers, and a lot of those locals who have already voted for Tuberville.
So you wonder if it would hurt. How big an issue is it for the people who are really opposed to data centers? How, you know, how much does it move the needle in as they decide who to vote for? Some of those people are conservatives and Republicans, mm-hmm. you're right. But Tuberville, he's pushed all his chips into the middle and said these things are going to be not just important, but down the road vital to us, and not just for our state of Alabama and the economy of Alabama, but he was looking at the larger picture in terms of trying to keep a leg up on China.
And how people feel about it as far as voting, well, I'll tell you, in the last week, just looking at our text line, there have been at least two texters who have said, listen, I'm a conservative, I have voted for Tuberville, but this is a red line for me, and I'm not voting for him now that he's come out for data centers.
I just can't see that same person. He may not vote for Tuberville. I doubt he would vote for Jones, right? Maybe just stay away on that. Maybe not check any box.
Yeah, that would be a tough one to square.
Yeah.
For that one reason.
But
maybe
too many,
more than that. Yeah,
too many, it's a big reason.
It is. You're right about that. 852 text line and more coming up. 251-343-0106.
Morning Moving, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
Jeff Forshow on the way. Jennifer Fiddler is going to be a guest in the 9 o'clock hour, 9:30. Then you got a couple all-stars here. Dale Jackson, Parker Griffith. Going to round out Jeff's show. Should be good content. 8:55 with Dan and Dalton.
Text line, this texter, it's a no vote for me if any candidate supports data centers. I don't care about keeping up with China. We can go back to horse and buggy days for all I care. Ricardo Montalban on the text line. As I've said before, I'm totally done with destroying Iran, but gas going up even though we don't get our oil from over there is BS. And then for the data center said, don't care. I'm still for Coach. We'll get to more of these data center texts, but this one here said, I had a dream that Tiger Woods and Paul Pelosi were the highest rated Uber drivers in 2026. That would be called a nightmare, right? With those two behind the wheel. You've been teasing this Paul Pelosi story.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, the latest on, you know, he's got this bad driving record for a lifetime, really. And now, looks like it was over the 4th of July weekend. Looks like Paul Pelosi, the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, charged in a hit-and-run crash. So he had the crash, and he took off, maybe? Napa County District Attorney Allison Haley filed charges against Pelosi Friday, violations that included one count of misdemeanor hit-and-run driving and one infraction of turning unlawfully, multiple news outlets have reported. The charge for leaving the scene of an accident where there was only property damage. So he didn't hit anybody, but he hit something.
Mm.
That is punishable by up to 6 months in county jail.
Oh, boy.
And a maximum fine of $1,000. He could be seeing jail time. You're thinking?
I'm sure he will.
Well, I'm sure he won't. But the San Francisco-based venture capitalist, that's what he does for a living. He's been married to former House Speaker for more than 60 years. He was arrested in May of 2022 for DUI.
Mm.
Crashing in Napa County. He pled guilty, served 2 days in jail. So he did spend some jail time. In the most recent crash, driving under the influence was ruled out after a test showed he had zero blood alcohol content. Violations in the past 5 years are only two of the many incidents that include a fatal sports car crash when Pelosi was only 16 years old, took the life of his 19-year-old brother.
Wow. I didn't realize his history there.
Bad.
And, of course, you know, he was the victim of that hammer attack a few years back. I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, all of that was bad enough, but then he blamed that hit and run on Trump. I was like, you guys have one line, right?
He gets hit with a hammer by that guy, and Pelosi's like, look, don't you know my history? I know. I get myself hammered. I don't need help from anybody.
Brandon on the text line said, lots of people don't like the idea of data centers, but not enough of an issue to vote for Doug Jones.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Fire Dog says, so let's have these AI data centers in China instead of here. genius people, with some sarcasm dripping from that text. He also said, as far as how quickly this tropical depression's moving, 3 miles an hour, even Dan walks faster than that.
I do.
I heard he was clocked at 3.6 miles per hour is what Fire Dog says.
I got after it the other day, by the way. Thank you, Fire Dog.
Jason says, good morning, guys. I'm thankful we don't have to pretend to be interested in soccer anymore and that we care if people from Ireland and Germany, etc., like our chicken wings. He also said, anyone else think Freddie sounds a lot like Jerry Carl? I never put that together, but I have seen Freddie and I have seen Congressman Carl. I have not seen them in the same place at the same time, though.
All right, so the theory is still out there,
I guess.
One and the same.
And Rock and Roll Doctor, it ain't free for a gas station to buy tanks, pumps, pavement, building, etc. And sounds like says the pricing is reasonable. Jeff Porcho on the way next.